Oh, let me elaborate just briefly. First, thanks to the legislators of both parties. As last year, they worked, I'm sure, as hard as any of their predecessors ever have. And whatever your viewpoint or party persuasion, they should be commended for an exceptional effort. I think the veterans who have covered many legislatures would probably agree. In terms of performance for Indiana, also very exceptional. From a job standpoint, this is an historic session. I'm not certain there's any precedent for it. We are now about to become a leader, the leader in America in transportation, and the leader in America in telecommunications. And in addition, we have made a fundamental change in Indiana business tax law to reward companies who invest here and hire Hoosiers and then successfully export their products elsewhere, exactly what we hope to happen. Those three plus six other items on our list make this a 9-for-9 outstanding session from the standpoint of economic growth and hope and jobs in this state. On the education front, some progress but some disappointments. We're very pleased about the passage of our Dollars to the Classroom bill that will help schools spend less on overhead, more on teachers and instruction. But at the same time, very disappointed that getting right to the one-yard line, we lost our bill to free those school districts who would like to be free from rules and regulations that tell them how to do their job, as opposed to just hold them accountable for that performance. So we'll have to come back and try to do that again. In next year's session, which I think will, from our standpoint at least, deal primarily with education. And then I would say the most disappointments were on the local government modernization front. We did achieve freedom for local governments to reorganize and restructure themselves without permission from Indianapolis. But after that, came up short on other fronts that are really important and will be very important to revisit, like more flexibility about the way in which they raise money to shift away from property taxation. There were a number of individual items that were very important to us that I'm pleased about. We have taken a necessary step forward that will improve our child support collections in this state. We were the only state left without a central center of expertise for child support, and our performance is going to improve dramatically by virtue of that change. Indiana is going to have a fire academy, something firefighters and first responders have sought in this state for a long, long time that I pledged to try to get done. That's now going to happen. We've taken a couple of steps forward in the way we provide assistance to our military families and our veterans, things that we spend a lot of time on. And it's already been reported the strengthening about four or five different bills to strengthen our protection against sex offenders and predators. So those are just a few of the other items in a very, very busy session for which, I think people of both parties ought to be highly commended.
Governor, 2 years in a row, you've asked the legislature to do some tough things that may hurt them in the upcoming election. Are you at all concerned that you're going to end up having to deal with a Democrat House? And what will you be doing to help make sure it stays in Republican hands?
Well, I'll do anything I'm asked to do. I just firmly believe that doing the right thing and delivering is ultimately the best politics. We saw a lot of political courage. You know, it's no news when a politician does what seems temporarily popular. What ought to get people's attention is when people do something that they obviously think is right in their hearts, because it does bring them criticism. And you saw a lot of that in this session. And I happen to believe that that people who tell the truth and speak plainly and have the courage of their convictions tend to wear well over time. Well, I am a sinner, as are we all. That's a new one, but you've been called as many names as I have. I've kind of lost track. We've been through stupid, idiot, and I forget what others. And so I didn't compared to some of the abuse that I've become accustomed to. I didn't find it all that severe.
Governor, two pretty contentious sessions in a row, though. Is this the way it's always going to be, or do you see it changing somehow?
Well, I can't forecast that. A change is is difficult. Some changes you can tell in advance are going to be contentious, where they disturb a very deeply vested special interest. Others can surprise you. I don't think of roads and jobs and hope for our economic future as a partisan issue at all, or a contentious one. It became that, and took me much by surprise. But I would think we'll probably have a lot less of that over time. As I say, I think the next session, now that we've balanced the budget, we have some resources again. The economy is headed in a very positive direction. 91,000 more Hoosiers working in January this year than January last year. I'm very optimistic that we'll be able to get together on some things like education enhancements that maybe we can have a little more bipartisanship around.
Governor, can you talk
about the toll road change?
June 30th. I'll sign the bill today. Transaction will move as quickly as possible. Employees are being notified today of arrangements made for their protection and their continuity of employment and income. And so no time will be allowed to slip by.
What are they being told?
That they get that the vast majority will be assured 9 months in place. Any that picked up by that, we will find other state opportunities for. And then we also will stand ready at the end of that period for those who don't choose to stay permanently with the toll road to come into other jobs in state government.
How quickly will new road construction?
Well, as fast as possible. I'm going to meet with Tom Sharp immediately after this session and with his leadership team in the next couple days. This is very important. I mean, now Indiana is the nation's leader. We're the only state, I believe it's safe to say, that has money in the bank, or will have, to fund the next several years of investments. And the most important thing we can do is start putting that money in the ground to create public assets for our children and their children and for the businesses that will employ those folks because of the step we've taken.
Which one will be the first road to get off the ground?
I can't answer that, but we're going to warp speed, whatever that is. We need, having rewritten the book of financing our future, now we need to rewrite the rules in terms of how we more rapidly build those assets. The whole reason we took this step was to be able to create new assets and leave them to our kids, and so no time should be allowed to slip. The sooner those roads and bridges or airport facilities are there, the sooner new jobs will come.
Well, Governor, one of those major projects.
Yeah.
Right. Underway this year.
Well, I think many of them can be, and I'm very hopeful. For instance, 31 and the Heartland Hoosier Heartland corridor are ripe for some early work that wouldn't have happened otherwise. But give us at least a few days to visit with the folks at NDOT. They know that they now have a new and terrible problem, me, because. I'm going to be all over them to show that they can do things in a new, faster, more effective way, too.
Can you address a little bit about I-69? That was a big piece of this. Have any of the changes in the route and tolling, is that going to affect the timeline of the project in any way?
Well, we certainly hope not, and I don't think it needs to. I think a good compromise was finally reached. The laws around projects involving federal funds are complicated and sometimes defy common sense, so we're going to have to be pretty careful. But I know we can accommodate the concerns that were there, and I think we can do it with no slowdown. Remember that until passage of this bill, we had a process where the I's had finally been dotted, but we had no money. So the 69 project is ahead of where it was, but not without lots of problems still to solve.
Do you feel that the legislature will have to revisit this issue, whether it be the tolls or the route?
Don't know.
Do you feel comfortable with the precedent set in this bill that there will be legislative review of the route?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think that at least in this case, a project that dimension with that many different points of view, legislature is got to be a full partner, and this is one way to ensure that.
Can you explain how the tolling thing is going to work? Are the rules physically not going to move forward for the toll increase?
So we were told it wouldn't move forward until there was electronic tolling, but at that point we would no longer have control of the road.
No, the rules will move forward, but thanks to the legislation, one of the benefits, many benefits of legislation is that passenger cars now have been spared a toll increase. And passenger motorists will not pay any difference than from the rates they've been paying since 1985. The toll company will be made whole out of the proceeds of major moves until E-ZPass comes in, and then people will secure the continued freeze by getting a transponder. Well, you know us. We're going to move as fast as we can on everything. I think this is going to take a little bit of walking around because of the compromises that were made, and it probably will require some changes in the request for proposal that we were already hard at work on, but we'll have more on that, I think, in a few days.
Governor, can you tell us when you felt like you had the deal wrapped up, and did you have any conversations with Representative Dvorsky yesterday? She seemed to be the person that put you over the top on this.
Well, I had lots of conversations yesterday and in the days before, and I never take or anything for granted, and certainly not in this case, until the people finally had a chance to cast their votes.
Governor, can you talk about how you got the support of Senator Rogers and what that meant for you?
Well, first, when I talk about people who showed some courage, can we start with Earlene Rogers? As you may know, she resigned her leadership position in order to cast a vote of conscience and cast a vote that's fundamentally important to Northwest Indiana. And when we start handing out the deserved accolades for courage, I think Earlene ought to come up there at the top of that list. And it wasn't hard to do because we were simply standing fast on the bill I sent in. I had said, first of all, we'll try to create a RDA for Northwest Indiana. We did that last year. I said we'll try to create a sustained funding stream on the order of $10 million for each of 10 years. And that's exactly what I proposed, and we insisted on it, and it survived the conference. In addition, in the ultimate compromise, there's another $20 million. I spoke with Mayor Scott King this morning. He called to say thanks and congratulations, and I said, I'm sorry we didn't come through on the 100. Well, 130 do. We always intended to try to do that, and we always intended to make certain that there was training made available for the new opportunities that Major Move is going to make possible. It's the same conversation we had with Senator Howard, another of my profiles in Courage. This is a great opportunity for young minority kids to learn a trade and to develop a career in some of the thousands of new jobs that are certain to occur now as we invest an additional $4 or $5 billion in the long time or term assets of the state.
Governor, could you address the tolling on the I-69 section? Do you think it's fair that somebody going from Indianapolis to Martinsville would not pay any money, but somebody coming from, say, Evansville to Washington, Indiana would? And any concerns that this will end up delaying the project, end up with court challenges and whatnot?
Well, I've already answered the delay question. We don't know, but we don't think so, and we'll try hard to make sure it doesn't. And, you know, let's just wait and see. No way to tell at this point what the outcome will be. I think in the end it's probably unlikely that you have tolling on a piece of a road and not all of it. But let us see what we can make work out.
What about the other bids, the failing bids being made public?
As far as I'm concerned, as soon as we get to closing and possibly sooner, these folks need time and deserve time to finish their own financing, and that's the only reason that other bids are not yet visible.
But Governor, Marion County Democrats are implying there's a tie between money you've raised for Carl his decision not to investigate your inspector general. Do you care to respond to that?
No. The story dissolved days ago. There have been retractions, apologies, and And in fact, it turns out self-contradiction by the person who first brought it up. And I'm trying to be charitable to him and assume it was all innocent. And I just don't understand the malice of people who would continue on in the face of a clearly baseless case.
Governor, on the major moves, one just to follow up, will the other bid information be available July 1st or sooner than that? And as far as 69, is that financially doable without a T3? And is it attractive to a T3 if there's no tolling in that upper set?
The answer to the first question is the first day we can do it without complicating the finances of the winning financial planning of the winning bidder. And on the second question, it's just too soon for us to tell. We'll have to explore a reconfigured P3 option, and we'll try to do that in a way that's protective of the concerns expressed during the General Assembly about Perry Township, about tolling from Bloomington or Martinsville North.
Governor, did I hear you right about the P3 RFP for I-69, that within days you could have a P3 RFP ready for that project? Is that
no.
what you said? No. You
no, I said that. Give us a few days to think through the implications of the bill. I think that was the answer.
Do you know when an RFP might be?
It's just too soon to say, Ted. This will require a very different approach. I think we'll certainly look to see if a P3 approach can be conformed to the legislative will here, and that'll be our first attempt. But it's pretty complicated business, and I just don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Governor, of the 2005 items
that
you didn't get last year, you didn't get almost any of them again this year. So will you take that as a sign that they don't want you to do that, or do you think third time's the charm and you go for it in 07?
To me, commitments are important. I think we're up to 74 that we programs that we proposed and ran on. We're up to 62, and I'm a little stubborn about these things. I still think they're good ideas, and we'll certainly continue with some of them. The one piece of our ethics package that we haven't gotten yet, to me, makes eminent sense. Somebody in a state job who commits a felony ought not have at least the taxpayer's piece of their pension paid. That's a good idea, and so, yes, I'll come back with that. And we ought to protect Good Samaritan organizations in this state from lawsuits when they're just trying to do the right thing. That's a good idea, and we came up short, but of course I'm going to go back with that one. So, yeah, we'll probably run them up the pole again. Like they do.
They like to. is our budget still balanced even with the additional spending that
yes.
you threw in?
Yes. This was a bright line condition. As far as I was concerned, we've worked very, very hard first to get the leanest budget in 55 years, then to manage beneath that budget. And with the prospect in sight of balancing in the first year, I said I really didn't want to slip backwards on that. From any projection we have about revenue and spending, I do believe we will finish fiscal 2006 in operational balance, and that's still our forecast, even taking into account the actions of the General Assembly.
Governor, can you supply some context to the property tax relief that was passed,
uh-huh.
how that sets the table now for 2007?
What's
that
investment? I hope that it improves the chances and secures really the commitment of folks who weren't prepared to work on a permanent solution or this year to do so next year. This is useful, and I applaud them for what they did, but it is temporary. And so many of us said that that's okay, but can we all agree that we really need to be involved in a long-term approach to this situation? And I'll be back for the third time also recommending with the cities and towns more flexibility, the opportunity to shift away from property taxes to other forms of revenue. That's a good idea. It's going to sooner or later have to be part of a solution to this problem. We didn't get the child welfare levy lifted or start that process. I'll be back with that idea, I believe, or some variation of it. That also would be part of long-term relief. So I applaud the legislature for what they did. I think it was useful, and I think it was at a prudent level financially. But it leaves the issue before us, the real issue, which is how over time do we rely much less on property taxation to fund local government in our state?
Is it responsible to enact those caps without finding some way to pay for them? The 2% caps are
all? I think they did the best they could with in the situation they were in.
Governor, on the major moves, I actually got a little confused near the end about...
How could that be?
I know. Yeah. About how much money was being spent and versus how much was left for a road project. Is there actually enough money left to cover the $2.8 billion gap for the 10-year plan in the 10 years?
The answer to that is yes, as best we can calculate it. But each time we talk about this, I point out that these estimates are only estimates and never a surprise if they turn out to be on the low side. As you know, some of the money was taken aside in what they call a next generation trust fund, sort of an additional trust fund that will be there and held out over time. And it is available, as I understand it, to be drawn on, at least at intervals. So I think the answer is yes. What's beyond dispute is the state is now in a radically better situation than we were in before, than any state I know of is in today. And so is it absolutely enough? I don't know for sure. I know that if it isn't, that only means we were in even worse shape than we understood ourselves to be.
She talked about projects being in jeopardy, so I'm trying to find out, I guess, premise of this was that every project on the 10-year plan would be built.
And I that's still our intention and still our belief that we can do that.
Are you aware of any legislation yet that you'll veto?
Not yet.
Governor, given your differences with Sewell, do you regret supporting her in the last election, and will that change next time around?
I don't regret supporting her. She's a good person, and we agree on much more than we ever differ on. And you know, one thing we agreed on in the last election was that one, with the Democratic Party and its candidate, by the way, was that one day that office ought to be appointed, and maybe one of my successors will have that opportunity. But no, not for a minute. She's a good friend, a sincere public servant, and again, we agree on much more than we ever differ over.
Governor, how are you planning to market major moves to Hoosiers? I know that down in Washington they've had a little bit of, you know, fuss with the Dubai port situation. I know it's not the same owners, but since they're both foreign entities, how are you planning to sell this?
Well, first of all, on the basis that we have solved an enormous problem that's been sitting there for decades in Indiana. Roads that we need and have been promised with no way to pay for them will now happen. And thousands of jobs will happen, and local governments will receive millions and millions of dollars, especially in the toll counties. It's going to be a tremendous opportunity for the state and for these localities. And incidentally, we're going to have a better toll road for those Hoosiers who actually use it. So I think that the merits of this plan will sell themselves over time, but I'm so grateful to the folks who showed the gumption to make it happen, and we are going to be, and our kids are going to be enjoying the benefits of this forever.
Do you expect the immediate impact of major moves to have any soon impact on economic development projects that they're already working on, companies that are already thinking about coming here?
Yeah, very well could. It is typical in the deals that we do that a road or some sort of infrastructure enhancement is necessary, and now we'll have flexibility far beyond what we've had before. You know, this state's on a hot streak right now. Again, if you missed it in all the recent flurry, 91,000 more Hoosiers working in January 06 than January 05. Just in the last few weeks, 500 distribution jobs at Cisco, 700 service sector jobs at Muncie, 250 architecture jobs at Lawrence, 320 tourism jobs, think of them, at Bass Pro up in Portage. The biggest biodiesel plant in the world announced for Claypool, and of course the Toyota announcement of this week, and we have two or three dozen more pending. Many of them do. By the way, each of the projects I just mentioned was enabled in part by some infrastructure investment, and most such projects do. So yes, among the many ways in which major moves equals jobs is that it will give us a chance to, in each such case, we'll have flexibility to say yes to a new road or bridge or intersection or exit or whatever it takes.
Do you foresee at this point any future P3 agreements beyond 69 and the toll road?
I think we ought to take it one step at a time. I think that there are a lot of them in America's future. But how many are in Indiana's future? I'm not sure.
Because you've said repeatedly during this debate that this is the wave of the future, mm-hmm. of how states are going to pay for their roads. So it would seem logical that yes, beyond those two, there might be some down the road.
It's possible. Can I make a point that, again, there's been so much going on. This is an important point to note. I made it up at Toyota, but I mentioned the so-called single factor tax change as the third of the sort of big three jobs items in this session behind major moves and telecommunications. It was already correctly reported that on a per-job basis, the Toyota transaction is much less expensive in terms of incentives than what's going on elsewhere. It is going to be much less expensive yet because of that change. We have an explicit agreement with them that if Indiana ever changed to a single-factor tax, the edge credits go away. So right there, millions of dollars of incentives will no longer be necessary because we built a better sandbox, we built a better environment, which I always insist is the most effective way to create new jobs for our future. So transportation leadership, telecommunications leadership, and a favorable environment in areas like taxation, that's how you make a difference on the huge scale we have to try to make in a state of 6 million people.
You said you're going to sign the bill today, right? And that's relatively unusual on such an enormous bill, especially the changes made late. You're confident that your attorneys and everyone that
Those things tend to happen before it gets here. It's being proofed and fly-specced right now, as I understand it, but we'll sign it and move on. This is business.
Is there a certain amount of interest that you expect to generate from major moves? $900 million was the number earlier. Is there a new number? Is that still
no, it's still, probably in that ballpark, Patrick. Again, it depends on how fast we can reinvest the money, and we'll be moving as fast as we can. But even with me bugging everybody and leaning on them, it's going to take years to invest in a sum that enormous and build projects that complicated and that big.
So there'll be a kind of signing ceremony maybe out by the toll road or by some...
I think we'll just move ahead. I just don't operate that way, Martin. I'm happy for those counties. They're going to benefit beyond any counties in the state of Indiana. And that's not a bad thing, regardless of anything that's been said or done. That's a good thing. It's what we came here to do. And it's going to be with a glad heart that we deliver one check for $40 million, I guess, and then much, much more to come. I'm going to be the happiest guy, at least south of St. Joe County, when we actually build 31 that they've been trying to do forever. And we came here to get things like this accomplished, and that's satisfaction enough for me.
Are you going to be continuing TV or radio ads or making personal appearances up in these areas in the next few days to reassure constituents who might not be happy that they will be in the long run?
Well, I think the ads are probably done. We said what we had to say about that, but I'll be hitting the road, would be anyway, now that the session's over, just as we did last year, and we'll travel the whole state just as we did last year. And there's a lot to talk about. Major moves, of course, but again, in a session of historic accomplishment, and there's a lot else going on in Indiana, we'll be out there as always.
How did you arrive at the cost of the toll road freeze, and what happens if it turns out to be more expensive than you predicted?
If you remember, the idea of, in essence, a dividend to passenger motorists came up in the House. And we accepted that. It was one of the earlier compromises. The more I thought about it, the more sense it makes. Yes, I do. It's important that the rest of the money be reinvested in hard assets that are permanent. But the idea of a dividend to the passenger motorist seemed like a good one. And so the idea of a 10-year freeze was also, I think, the House's. And we just have tried to accommodate that. Got modified a little bit going along.
But where did the cost come from?
Well, we costed it out, and it seems to be acceptable in the overall context. And we don't know exactly what it'll be. A lot depends on how fast folks move to adopt the Easy Pass, which is a great thing that I think they'll want to do. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Governor.